Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog, episode 25 for Friday, October 9th, 2015. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week is Gadget Week. We talk about sonar for your head, e-ink for your wrist, and a cell phone for your dog. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. All right, folks, I guess we can start off with some quick housekeeping.
Yes.
Apologies for missing last week. I have been sick as a dog for 2 weeks, and it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, and I was traveling at the end of last week, too, so.
Yeah.
Combination, yeah.
Yep. So, also, we are going to take a break. Podcast is going to go on hiatus until 2016, so folks can stay tuned for that. But this week, we have Gadget Week, which is pretty exciting. Always a fun show.
Mm-hmm. I think we've got some good ones.
Yes, we've got three fun things to talk about this week, pulled from Indiegogo and Kickstarter. And these are all funded, I think. Indiegogo doesn't really.
The Indiegogo thing, they haven't met their goal, but it's a flex-funded
right.
project.
All right, so. The Kickstarter ones are funded, though, so.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start off with BuzzClip. That was the first one that hit our radar, so to speak.
Okay.
See what I did there?
Nice. Yeah. Sorry, a little slow. I see what you did there. Yes. It is a clip-on sort of sonar device that will do basically proximity detection and buzz when you get near things or when things get near you. And it's intended for blind and partially sighted people, of which I fall into, a category I fall into. So I'm excited about this one.
But couldn't you just use a seeing eye dog or a cane?
Well, that doesn't really get anything above like waist level.
Exactly.
As someone who has whacked my head, the left side of my head, into things more times than I care to count, this interests me.
Yes, and I like it. Its relative simplicity, which is that it's just a little, maybe I don't know how big it's about the size of your thumb, I guess.
Yeah, it's about the size of those little clip-on pedometers you can buy.
Right.
Reminds me of that.
Yep, and it's got what looks like a little camera eye on the front of it, and you clip it to your shirt collar, and it's got three settings. It could be either off, close distance, or farther distance, sort of inside and outside settings.
Yep, and I believe that's 1 meter versus 2 meters, I believe.
It's cool because, there's no smart focus. It just works. You don't have to connect it to anything. If your head gets near something, it buzzes. And they had a bunch of testimonials in the video that were quite glowing, especially from the taller mm-hmm. folks.
Yes.
So this seems like a no-brainer for the folks in your life who don't see so great. It looks like it's going to be about $130 retail.
Yeah.
And it should be available in March 2016.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took this long to show up. I kind of thought when Google Glass came out, why can't Google Glass do something like this?
Good idea.
Maybe if I get it in March, I can report back on how well it works.
So the thing that I think is going to be maybe a little bit of a theme for the whole episode is that it doesn't appear to have any groundbreaking technology in it. The thing that's probably groundbreaking is the size and price.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I'm referring to kind of global supply chain that the iPhone et al. Have spawned has created really low cost components for electronics. And we're seeing that kind of play out in a lot of different ways across the PC industry. You know, these cheap, low power,
like USB stick, full fledged computers.
Right. Yeah. You get these really, really small chips that are low power and relatively inexpensive because they're being produced in such bulk that, you get this, you can imagine makers getting a container box full of these Lego, like electronic Lego blocks and say, geez, what could we make out of this?
Right.
You know, it's got a decent battery. It's got all these different sensors. I can throw a chip on it. No problem.
It's everything 12-year-old he ever wanted.
Yeah. 3D print the case. Bing, bang, boom. BuzzClip.
BuzzClip. All of our gadgets this week are all wearables as well. Well, I guess potentially wearables.
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, that's where I think that might be what sort of triggered the theme concept where they're so small.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of technology is going to go to wearables. Let me go yell at the dog real quick.
All right.
See, I could just phone him, but...
Given that perfect segue, maybe we should talk about Rephone next.
Yeah, maybe we should, yes. Yes, Rephone is basically exactly what you said. It's like Lego bricks and little cables to connect them, and at the core of it is a GSM module.
Yes, so it's very... Conceptually, my head first went to the Arduino space, where it's very similar kind of, you know, it looks like a circuit mm-hmm. board that you can plug a bunch of optional things into.
Yep.
Sensors and actuators. But the core of this one isn't, the core of this one, as you said, is a GSM chip. So the basic primary feature of the thing is a 2G cellular connection. I think 2G is a very interesting thing. There's something about utilizing older technology or sort of less bleeding edge stuff. I always feel like it's underutilized. That's why I like SMS. I love the idea of 2G to imagine mm-hmm. all of the phones and the bleeding edge applications moving to 3G, 4G, LTE, all that stuff. And the 2G is just sort of sitting there lonely. And I look at it and I'm like, what could we do with this?
Right, exactly. And in fact, like if you're in a crowded place and you're getting really slow 4G connection, you can drop back to 3G, and quite often it'll be a faster connection just because it's not so crowded.
That has worked for me in New York City. Yep, totally agree. And so 2G, if you think about what it's good for, it's ubiquitous, which is great, but it's mm-hmm. very low data throughput comparatively. But that mean, you know, but there are tons and tons of potential applications where the core feature is that you only need to have a tiny bit of information, but you need to have it at a very specific time or in a very specific context or situation or location.
Right. You really only need the 4G speeds if you're going to be doing things like browsing the web or streaming audio.
Yeah, streaming audio, streaming video, having calls, voice calls, all that stuff. That's sort of two-way. You want the latency to be very low.
Mm-hmm.
But in an Internet of Things style world where you can imagine, you know, all, for example, a smart oven in a McDonald's. The overhead of putting a device on an oven to make sure that, or the fryer later to make sure that the oil is the right temperature, and broadcasting that, the sort of oil analytics to the cloud for a restaurant or a big chain restaurant it's fairly problematic if you have to piggyback over the internal Wi-Fi or LAN and do all that networking stuff and worry about that. And really mm-hmm. you're just trying to transmit this teensy weensy little bit of data every 3 minutes or something.
Right. You've got like maybe 128 bytes of data, and you could just stick a 2G chip on there and be done with it. No more configuration needed. Just right. Send it where it needs to go.
Right. You have a probe hanging off the thing. There's the GSM module, and maybe you have a little solar panel on it that is picking up the ambient light in the room, and the thing just goes. It's like this teeny little appliance that's the size of a quarter that you could mail to somebody for a dollar, not even. And say, hey, manager, just stick this on the
stick
wall.
Stick this on the thing.
And drop the probe into the oil and forget about it. It's just going to work. So we could all get perfectly cooked fries.
We could, thanks to the Rephone.
Thank you, Rephone. So Rephone is not just the GSM module. It has a bunch of things that you can plug into it that include a touchscreen.
Displays, yep. Touchscreens, gyroscopes, accelerometers.
Mm-hmm. All the fun stuff that you would imagine or you're used to hearing about from your Arduino, but the Arduino isn't by default. First of all, it's much bigger mm-hmm. and it's not by default connected to anything. You can add a Wi-Fi module to it, but it's not out of the box. It's not considered a connected device, in my opinion.
No, it's not.
So what's cool about this, especially with the GSM, is that it's addressable. So you can make your little thing. You can put a little, you know, you take your GSM module, you put a little speaker on it. You can call the thing. So, you know, you attach it to your dog's collar. And in the example, they have, you know, Bob, it's time to come home.
Right.
The dog's collar rings. It just picks up like a walkie-talkie and they start talking to the dog.
Call your dog. Literally call your dog.
Right.
Yeah. You know what this reminds me of?
What?
This reminds me of the Metaware that we both backed a while ago, except the Metaware paired to your phone and used an app on your phone. So this just like skips that part of it.
Right. Yep. I've got another thing that I sort of situation in my life that I've always wanted to address, and there's never been a good way to do it, but this would be a perfect way. Mm-hmm. There was never an affordable way to do it, which is that we have this permanent campsite about an hour away from where we live, and the weather is often wildly different there than it is where we are because it's much closer to the water. So it's very, and we have to pack the car really full. So we want to make sure we don't bring too much stuff, but we don't want to be like underdressed or anything
right,
like that.
So you want to be able to call it up and get the weather.
Yeah, I want to get the weather there. But it's very, very localized because it's relatively, not mountainous, but it's very hilly and it's right on a pond. So it can be that our specific campsite is 10 or 15 degrees cooler with the wind chill than it is literally a quarter mile away.
Right.
So we can't just take the regular weather.
You can't just look
report.
At a local forecast.
Correct. And this sometimes this means the difference between going down and not going down. You know, making mm-hmm. piling everybody in the car and doing a 45-minute to an hour-long drive to get there and find out that it's terrible weather.
Right.
So it would be great, and I've looked into a bunch of different options. It would be great to basically have a little weather station there, which you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the ones that have some kind of connectivity built into them are really not worth it. It's like $500.
Yeah.
And they're really high-end meteorological measuring stations for all sorts of scientific applications. So that's overkill. I don't need it that bad. But these things are like, you know, in the $20 to $40 range.
Right. And for $100, you can get loads of things.
Yeah, I could throw that down there. It would automatically be connected. I just need this teeny bit of information, and it's okay if it takes me 30 seconds to download it or make the communication or whatever. It could just update me periodically.
Right. It'd
be so cool.
You could have it send you a text message.
Yeah.
Daily or something.
Right. Yep. Or I text it. It texts me back. You know, I text
right.
it to trigger
that. Would
the,
be better. Yeah.
Hey, what's the weather at camp? Boom. We'd have to come up with a good name for it. The Doppler 1000.
There you go. My cool. dog's going to start barking again.
Excellent. Maybe you should call him and tell him to be quiet.
Yeah. Elvis.
All right. So this particular item has been funded almost 4X. So
yes.
people like this. And it is estimated delivery is this month.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
Cool.
And the price for the base model, it's the very base, just the GSM part, is $19.
Yeah, so that's definitely affordable. I think you'd want a few gadgets to hang off of it just to make things interesting.
Yeah.
But like you said, for like $40 or $50, you can get a decent amount of stuff.
Mm. Yep, and it's kind of like we've talked about Arduino and other sort of like build your own computer type of things. It's sort of like, boy, that sounds really cool, but then you end up like, I can't think of any way to use it.
Right.
So the
cellular connection on this definitely makes it more useful.
Yep.
You don't have to think about, well, how am I going to get it connected to the internet now?
Right. Takes away a big layer of friction. It comes with, this is sort of cute, it has all these cardboard
little paper
enclosures that you can make for it.
Yeah.
So very cool. All right. So that is Refone. So our third and final gadget of the week is called iCatcher. And it is really a bracelet that looks pretty nice.
Yeah, think of like a pebble in a bracelet format.
Yeah,
it's an e-ink bracelet with some nice trimming.
Yes, so it's got a sort of a silvery gold metallic bezel, and it's a cuff, kind of like Wonder Woman style.
Yeah, cuff. About an inch wide, maybe.
I'm gonna go 2 inches. I think
two inches.
It's fairly wide. It looks chunky on the sort of wavy female models they have in the video, and it looks
right,
but not too masculine. I think it strikes a nice balance. It's big enough to not look feminine on a guy and not look masculine on a girl. So I think they split the difference pretty well there.
Yeah.
And it's got this flexible e-ink display. It wraps around. It's not a full circle. It's like a C shape that goes almost all the way around.
Right. Probably for sizing reasons.
Sure. Yeah.
That way they can size the bracelet.
And what's great about this, there's a bunch of things that are great about it, but the underlying premise I found really interesting, and it does go back to the theme of electronics getting so small and cheap. One of the designers who was doing his best Johnny Ive impression said that tech is getting small enough that the aesthetic vision of products can start to take priority over the functionality aspect of just like just get it done.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me. I hadn't really thought before of tech as a fashion accessory, but having this wearable flexible e-ink fabric, basically. I know the bracelet is not a fabric, but go with me here because that's where we're headed.
Right.
that you could just change the look of kind of on a whim as your fashion accessory. I don't know. It's just one of those things that feels very Blade Runner to me.
Yeah. I have to say it looks, I mean, I guess I'm not as picky as probably most people, but it doesn't look bad. It looks kind of cool. And they have a bunch of examples where you can, I mean, heavily customize the display. And it's, and when you think about the display, if it wraps all the way around your wrist, it's pretty big. They have examples where, you know, there's this companion smartphone app and you can take a picture of your outfit and set that as the screen on the watch. So your bracelet matches your outfit, or really you can take a picture of anything, of course. And it creates this version of it for the screen, but you can also set up regions of the screen to show notifications or emails, yeah, or, you know, all the things that smartwatch notifications do, but on this gigantic, comparatively gigantic screen.
Right. So it'd be like a Pebble, except I could see it.
Yeah, me too. That new Pebble is really hard to read. So I think this is really cool. And I like this trend. I like the trend of taking the core, like, geez, it kind of ties back to what I was saying before, earlier about 2G and SMS, where, mm-hmm, you know, this is not a touchscreen. It's not fancy. It's not color. But you know, if you just take all of those things out, those are very costly from a battery standpoint and from a straight up cost standpoint. You take that stuff out, you still have a pretty compelling object that is extremely chameleon-like, beyond chameleon-like.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, they're not taking cutting edge technology, but they're taking the technology they've chosen to use, and they're doing something cool and innovative with that. It's slightly lower tech, but the usage is more innovative.
Right.
And yeah, in a way, I think working with the lower tech things like that, this sounds very pathetic to be calling like flexible e-ink displays low tech, but
but it
again,
is.
Bear with me.
Right.
But the idea of taking the stuff that's been out for a while and it's not cutting edge, but finding new ways to use it, I think it fosters more creativity.
Yes, there's something. It reminds me of Makers by Cory Doctorow, where the two main characters start off by repurposing garbage electronics, where I think the first thing they do is they take a Teddy Ruxpin, which was like a talking stuffed animal from the 80s.
Yeah, it would read your storybooks.
Right, and they get like 800 of those things, and they take all the chips out. They're garbage, but they have them all, and they needed to be disposed of, so they're all in this big pile, and they take all the chips out, and they use them for other stuff. They're like perfectly good chips for free, and they you know, multiply that by 100,000, and they just take all of this stuff, this yesterday's technology, which would have been mind-blowing 5 years ago, but now is just yawn-inducing because it's like not the most cutting-edge thing.
Right.
There's still tons of use in that stuff, and since the price is essentially zero, it just frees up, like you said, it spawns, in my mind, maybe I'm just this type, it spawns this kind of creative thinking that is way more interesting to me than trying to push Foxconn to release the next version of, you know, a touchscreen that can detect force. I'm just so bored by that. I'm glad someone's working on it, but I'm bored by it.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to go, oh, what kind of new cutting edge thing can we create? It's another entirely to look at this pile of circuits and tech that's been around for years and go, what fun new thing that no one has made yet can I create using this?
Yeah. Maybe it's the MacGyver in me, I guess.
Yeah. Have you ever checked out, have you ever seen AfriGadget? Have you ever been there? It's a website.
No.
Like AFRI Gadget. Mm-mm. And all it is, it's just a bunch of, it's like people in Africa just taking sometimes literal garbage and like just making cool stuff out of it. And some of it is tech and like, okay, here's how I took a bicycle and made a charger for our cell phones. And some of it is art or more practical uses or kids making toys. And it's just, it showcases an incredible amount of ingenuity and creativity from people in places where their technology is very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, finances and resources are very limited.
Interesting.
I don't think it's been updated in a while. I think the guy did it as a blog while he was traveling in Africa and is maybe not doing that now, but.
Gotcha. Huh. Yeah.
It's definitely worth checking out.
I mean, obviously creativity is at play when people are trying to push the envelope of what's capable with technology.
Yeah.
At the manufacturing level, the sort of design and manufacturing level and nanotechnology and biocomputers and all that stuff. That's really cool. But for some reason it feels available to only the elite or something.
It's very sterile.
Yeah. Something about it that feels very top down that I don't like. I like the grassroots nature of everybody on the planet being able to repurpose Lego pieces, essentially, like these cheap, almost disposable or discarded pieces of tech into something that's, you know, wildly cool.
Yeah. Like you or I couldn't go out tomorrow and create a new in our garages or in our basements, create a new input device.
No, I know you mean we're not gonna invent a new sensor.
Right. Like, but we could go out and pick up like a half a dozen solar powered calculators and a discarded Walkman and make something.
Yeah. Yeah, like a door alarm or something. I don't know. There's just something about it that just really, it's just a different kind of creativity and it appeals to me more. So anyway, I'm 100% sure that we're just going to see more and more of this smart jewelry type stuff. There's no doubt about it. Looking at this, they are definitely positioning this as a luxury, not high-end luxury item, but definitely a nice item. So there are a couple of different models, and it does turn out that they do have women's and men's and small, medium, and large.
Okay.
And that some of the designs are, you know, for example, there's one called Venus, which is sterling silver. It's noticeably more beautiful than the other ones. You can get a little bit more functional looking one for less money. But they range in price retail-wise after the Kickstarter from, say, $300 or $400 to $700 or $800.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty pricey for what I would want it for. But, you know, it's got this always on display. It's really easy to use. Incredible battery life, they say. Real-time notifications, built-in memory for the slideshows. It's water-resistant, infinite custom styles, and, of course, social sharing.
Of course.
So if you're in the market for a bracelet, you're not going to buy this. But if you're in the market for an Apple Watch, you might want to look at this. Because I feel like this is sort of targeted at the same individual.
Yeah. I feel like at that price point, it kind of feels like it, yeah. Apple Watch does not appeal to me at all in the way this does. Maybe it's the idea of these animated, constantly changing patterns in this fashion accessory that I'm wearing on my wrist. Or the art is drawing me to it a lot more than the idea of piping notifications into it, which is interesting because practically I would use the notification stuff more, but just the idea of using this as an art piece and being able to like display the different patterns and pictures and whatnot.
Yeah, it becomes a new, you know, they said about the iPhone, one of the big reasons the iPhone dominated, took over from BlackBerry and Nokia was that every time you got a new app or you got a new software update, you had a new phone. You know, the powers of the phone, the superpowers that the phone gave you kept evolving and evolving. So you never really started to get bored with it because there's always something new. And this has a similar feel to me where you can just endlessly customize it.
Like if I want something different, then I can just go and download some more photos or input some new drawings or.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I find this much, much cooler than Apple Watch anyway, and it's comparably priced.
Yeah, I'm sure the Apple Watch has more tech built into it. I mean, heaps and bounds more, but I know there's something about this that is very, very appealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does one thing well.
Yeah.
Where the Apple Watch does a million things okay.
Right.
So, all right. Well, that is called Eye Catcher, and it was just about, not quite double the funding.
There's 41 days to go. At least 455 people want it.
Evidently. I'm tempted, let me tell you.
I am too. Yeah, I think I'm going to get the buzz clip instead, though.
Yes, that makes sense.
I want all three of these.
It's cool stuff. So, folks, you can imagine as all this tech becomes cheaper, smaller, we're going to get more and more fun, cool, wearable stuff for ourselves and our dogs. That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next year for Terrifying Robot Dog. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at TRD Show and at our Facebook page, Terrifying Robot Dog, for updates throughout the rest of 2015 and for alerts when we are going to come back online in 2016.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll still post interesting links and that sort of thing.
Can't help it. Until then, folks, bye.
Bye.